Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
So, next week, I guess we have the privilege of hearing from our very own Rick Mester, Pastor Rick. It's going to be so good. And then Church in the Park, and then Jack Harris, right? I'm going to be here for everything except one, but I'm not going to tell you which, because this church isn't built on my personality and my attendance. It's built on worshiping the Lord. So let's start with the word here this morning. I know you already stood a lot, but so did I. Let's go ahead and stand up. We stand up in honor of the word. And when you stand like that, it's almost like coming to attention and acknowledging that something is holy, that something went through a lot of things to still be here and to be intact, that the new scrolls could be found, and that there would be something to look at and behold by the Lord for us. So we're gonna talk about oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit today. And we're gonna read the parable of the 10 virgins. Okay? So I'll read it, you lean in. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you that it's holy and good, and it's for right now and for forever. The parable of the wise and foolish virgins. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took their oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. It'll be, behold, the bridegroom's coming. It's time. Jesus is here now. Are you ready? It's time to go meet him. And all those virgins around trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. And the wise answered and said, no. There won't be enough for us and you. Go to those who sell it and buy it for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, well, they went with him to the wedding, and then the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he said, assuredly, I don't know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. You can sit down if you can. The title of the message today is, you can't borrow oil. I wish that these tears were for the lost. Oh, God, help. I wish with all my heart that I could share my oil with you, but I can't. You gotta get it yourself. There's a midnight cry, and we're going home. And there's a grace I believe God gives us that, you know, afterward, maybe we won't remember everybody we tried to bring with us that had their hearts hardened and that wouldn't yield to God, that wouldn't hear him. But I'm going to do everything I can to get oil all over you and near you and around you and on you, that you might have a lamp that's trimmed in extra oil. To welcome him when he comes. He's coming like a thief in the night. You won't know. You will not know. And if you know, you've got oil and you got oil to spare. And I think some of the saddest parts about this is that we are not even aware that we are vulgarly out of oil. Out of oil. We don't even look like the kingdom of God anymore. Welcome to church, everybody. Woo! Jesus. Did you know you could sit in the garage all day long? It's not going to make you a car. You could sit on that seat every week and never miss. Doesn't make you a Christian. Doesn't make you a disciple. We're singing a song up here. That's how God checks me, you know. Then sings my soul, you know. How great your love is, man. I relish it. I'm like, thank you, God. I'm like basking in it, letting him just wash over me that I might be able to wash over you. And, you know, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And in my mind, he goes, if you love me, obey my commandments. He'll know, the world will know if you love me, if you have love for each other. Not just in this room, it's easy in here. You guys are, look at you, how good looking you are. Look how sweet you are when you come in here. Rick raised his hand. Look at you, how kind you are. You're givers to missions all across this world. Helping little kids in Africa be whole. This is a great body of people. It's easy to love you in here. What about every other day when you're not in here? How much oil are you carrying? The Holy Spirit is symbolized by different things when you read the word. And we can read a few of the scriptures. I mean, we kind of lingered a little long in worship. It was good for you, though. It's good for your soul. The Bible is just, I mean, it's just full of ideas. So the Holy Spirit is like fire, oil, wind. We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Would you pour your spirit out? We just beg God to keep doing it, and he wants to. He longs for it. I could see him in heaven this morning. Did you see that? Did you hear that? Somebody is hungry. Somebody wants me, wants my presence again. He can't help himself when we start getting hungry like that. We start making declarations like that before him. Fire does something. It purges. It makes you warm, too. Somebody told me the other day, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. I can't remember who said it. I think it was Donna. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman, and he is, but he's also a purging fire that comes and removes all the dross off of your life, things you don't need. It's not very gentlemanly, but it's very holy. The gentleman part comes with, would you like it? Why, yes, I would, Holy Spirit. Go ahead. You know, when rain comes and there's a thunderstorm and it's like so heavy and you're looking at the earth and you're looking at how it just pelts all over and there's puddles everywhere and the ground's oversaturated and there's just water everywhere. But when it goes away, everything's what? Clean. It's clean. Clean and then dry. Water, wind. Wind blows away the debris. These are the symbols of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. But oil is the one I want to talk about today. I don't have any strife or evil work around here. And I know that oil lubricates everything in the spirit the same way it does in the natural. And I'm a firm believer that God will put stuff right in front of our eyes. Man, yes, I could preach out of a kid's book. I could preach off of the Chick-fil-A bag. I could preach pure life. Man, there's just nothing like Jesus. I mean, I'm just doing this kind of on the fly. You know, it's like God will put things in front of your eyes wherever you go that'll be speaking things about his kingdom right to you. And there's things in the earth right now. We talked about memorials last week, things that still exist today, fabulous things, the stones that Jacob put at the Jordan River. You know, there's a salty desert somewhere in the land that would have been called Sodom and Gomorrah in the Middle East. Salty desert, still there with this weird little pillar. I mean, if you know, you know. There are memorials that are set for us to observe and to look at, you know. And there's things in the earth today. You know, I looked up just, you know, I asked Google, what are the effects of oil on the human body, on this human flesh? And it first pulled up like petroleum, petro, and oil, and fuel. And of course, those things are all toxic. They're horrible for the human body. And of course, you know, I had all week to look and study. So I got in there and I learned some things. And then Scott told me a couple things, too, because he's always honest about clean eating, finally, after 35 years of the worst food you can put into your body. He has figured it out that olive oil is legit, and that's what we're going to eat. And we're only going to eat it good, and we're going to make sure it has a good source. And it's going to cost a lot. So Holy Spirit, you know, I learned, I used to complain that healthy food costs so much, but if you only buy healthy food and you leave all the other stuff off, you got enough to get what you need. So our mayonnaise cost $8. Gotta have it, gotta have it. Deviled eggs. So here's some things I learned. So through marketing and the ages of invention and, you know, manufacturing industry is the word I'm trying to think of. In the 60s and, you know, way back it was like our butter became what? Margarine, right? You've been here long enough. You know, well, now we're finally figuring out it's better to have butter than that crap. We're looking at things. I'm telling you, this is a spiritual thing. It's the same thing in the spirit as I'm describing to you in the natural. There is an artificial toxic oil that will clog you. Every valve you have, it'll harden your heart. It'll make you die early. It'll take your very life breath away from you. So please stop eating it. There's olive oil that you can take. We're just shooting it now every day because it lubricates the inside of you. Your heart valves, your intestinal tract. You have several systems in your body created by God. Your digestive system, your respiratory system by which you breathe, by which you eat, your circulatory system, all your blood flowing through this thing that you got to feed every few hours. Your nervous system, how you even are wired and how you think, made all just in this beautiful design and come together in this body and it becomes who you are. And oil, you have a skeletal system in you that holds this thing up by which it can move. And oil, olive oil particularly, good whole olive oil, not a mixture, not a synthetic, but some real good olive oil taken on the daily, will lubricate everything in there and make it flow and rejuvenate your cells. When's the first place you remember ever hearing about olive oil? Bible. Way back over there. It's nothing new. Jesus telling us how to stay alive and how to stay strong and be full of vitality and how to be well. What do you need for aches and pains in your body? Oregano, spices. Is this a story about healthy eating? Yes. For your soul and your spirit. There's an oil that comes from the Holy Spirit of God that isn't like any synthetic oil. It might not make you feel good in the moment, but it will make you feel good for a long time and make you last in a foundational place that you understand the oil of His presence is poured out for you. I looked up some stuff just about wind. The book of John says the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is to everyone born of the Spirit. When you see the wind blow, I pray that your eyes of understanding become open, that God is showing you that His Spirit is moving about the planet. And when the wind blows in your hair, you feel the Holy Spirit on your soul. He's very present. Acknowledging Him and getting out of your head and out of your own selfish will help these things come to life for you. The book of Acts, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It was like a rushing mighty wind. It filled all those who were in the house. Wind that fills you. I'm not talking about a bad cheeseburger. I am talking about the wind of the Spirit that comes and blows off all the debris so you can see what God is trying to do in the earth. Fire. John the Baptist, one of the absolutely most fierce and cool people that you can read about in the Bible. Locust and honey. I don't get that. I get the honey part. I don't get the locust. And the wild hair of a goat that he wraps himself in. This dude is wild. He's with God only. He's out there. People are like that, with God only. And when you get near them, it's almost scary what they're going to say. He goes, hey, Everybody, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he is coming after me, who's mightier than me, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The book of Acts, after that wind came, fire came, it says, there appeared unto them cloven tongues, you know, a little forked tongue. It looked like fire sitting upon them. This stuff, you know, this is the stuff that takes you from this world where you live doing the same mundane things and the same broken thing, cycling through sin, broken, depressed, half-life. That if you can come up into the spiritual place of tongues of fire, the wind of his spirit, a consuming fire where everything I am belongs to him, and we live just from here to here, it's just a tiny step from self to him, from me and my will into my spirit that belongs to him anyway. And you live a totally different existence when you live in oil. Is anybody tracking with this? Oil is the thing that's always used in the Old Testament by the prophets, the men and women of God, to anoint. Everybody say anoint. Anoint. I'll say anointed. Because you is anointed. Okay? Anointed. It comes from this horn of oil that the man or woman of God would carry around and pour on people. Put on people. Is it still up here? Oh, I had it sitting up here. Put it on people. We put on people when they're sick. We anoint people for healing. We believe God for healing, that he will do it. It's not my place to heal somebody. I'm not a healer. He is. But I'm his servant. I'm his vessel. So it's my place to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover by his hand, not mine. Samuel took a horn of oil, 1 Samuel 16, anointed David in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came on David. What happened after he was anointed with the oil? Spirit of the Lord came on him. I'll tell you what, man, there's times I'll get in my house. When I'm feeling a frenzy, I'm feeling a press or an attack of the enemy, or somebody comes and tells me a word, they feel like there's an attack or something, I'll put oil on myself. And I'll lathe it on, wherever the word is, and I'll be like, Holy Spirit, can't touch this. I'm bought with a price. I belong to you, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon me, and I'll speak to myself. Why downcast my soul? Put your hope in God. I trust you, God, with my life. My presence belongs to your presence. The Spirit of the Lord came upon from that day forward. That's awesome. Jesus opens a scroll, the book of Luke, right to this point. Jesus is epic. He says, let me read this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Anointing comes for a reason. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me and sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has anointed me to proclaim liberty to captives. He anointed me for recovery of sight to the blind. Come on. He has anointed me to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So you can, let me say it like this. Do you believe that about yourself? That's who you are. It's not because of you. Not because of your failure or your greatness. It's because of who lives in you. That you move about this world, his ambassador, full of his presence. You're anointed to do all of those things I just read. Now, you can borrow vessels to get oil, like it happened with Elijah in this story. It's worth reading real quick. I'll tell you how you can borrow some vessels, but you can't borrow the oil. You can't take someone else's work and study and kingdom presence that they sought for and take it for your own. You can hang around those people, and you should, because some of that's more contagious than taught. You'll catch it more than you'll learn it. You should get around people like that. You can take vessels, like you can learn and study. You can play a podcast. You can listen to other speakers, and I hope you do. You can play this one over and over again. It's pretty good. Let it get down into your soul. And until it becomes part of you. You can borrow a vessel to be filled with the oil, but you're the one who has to ingest it, lathe yourself in it, bathe in it, take it in. Can't borrow it, but you can borrow the vessel. Listen to this. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, The creditor is now coming to take my two sons to be a slave. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? She said, your maidservant has nothing. First of all, recognize you have something. Yeah. Saying you have nothing is not true because you have two hands and two feet. I can see you. You have eyes. You have clothes on your body. You have something the Lord can anoint. Then she goes, well, except for this jar of oil. I have a jar of oil. He said, well, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. In other words, get a lot. Have a lamp and have extra oil for the lamp so you can keep filling the lamp so it's burning all the time because you don't know the hour or the day. Get a lot. And when you go in, shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour that oil into all the vessels. She has a jar of oil, and she's going to pour it, and it's going to keep filling the vessel until she runs out of vessels. Okay? The Lord's speaking to us. The Lord will continue to pour out as long as you're putting your hand forward. As long as you're putting your hand forward, it will continue to pour out. Oil, healing, you know, a transference of the Holy Spirit and his presence and power. You know, healing miracles, whatever happens, it'll still pour out of you as long as you're pouring. You are the vessel. Okay? If you stop being the vessel, the oil stops flowing. Thank you, Lisa. That's really good. I like it a lot. Why did the wise bridesmaids not share their oil? I'm like, how rude. How unchristian would that be? Well, I have extra. Why don't I just give you some? We do it all the time. And we think that it's a kind act because we don't know who we are. There are things, everybody can have my love. Everybody can have my prayers. When I'm in this room, I belong to you. Whatever you want to ask me, I'm right here. You want to pray? You want to pray? We'll pray. Let's get it. Let's go for it. You want deliverance? You got it. Whatever it takes, whatever you need. But not everybody is my friend, and everybody doesn't have access to my life. And I'm speaking like you should speak for yourself. Everyone shouldn't have access to you. You know, you have to be choosy about who you're going to let get up next to you. Is it somebody who's going to suck away all your oil? Or do they have their own oil? And you come together, and now we got a fire. Now we got something we can build together. Does this make sense? You have to have eyes of the Spirit to hear and ears of the Spirit to hear what I'm talking about. You have an individual responsibility. They didn't share because lest there wouldn't be enough for us and you. Go buy some. Go get your own. Get your own oil. And then you can come over here and hang out with me and we'll talk about it. There's something that God wants to do in the world. There's something that has to happen before he comes for us again. Before he splits the sky, touches his toe on the Mount of Olives, and returns in the manner that we saw him go, stuff has to happen. And everybody has to have an opportunity to hear the name of Jesus before he will come for us. And you are the carriers of the presence of Jesus and the ministers of, what's that word? Reconciliation. Yeah, that is your job. And my job is still the same as it always is. To equip the saints for the work of ministry and to teach you how repentance is a cure. If they would have split up their oil, it would have been bad for both groups. Nobody would have been ready. You can't live halfway all the time. You have to live all the way. I think, and I don't know if it's especially women or if it's just especially Christians, but women, I've noticed, will do anything and everything. For everybody, all the time, until they're completely exhausted and worn out and have no oil left at all. That's not the heart of God. I'm not talking about self-help. I'm way past that. I'm talking about a complete immersion in the Holy Spirit and his fire and his wind and his oil until you're so soft and pliable, you can hear him whispering in your ear, go this way. Don't do that. That's for you. Get out of here. And you start to live in this place with oil and fire and presence. And you're not defeated. And you don't speak defeat. You speak victory. Because you're covered in oil. Oh, my God. You know, some of these, I have so many notes. Some of the comparisons on things, it's like, the olive oil for the heart, the Spirit of God's oil for your heart. Heart and heart. Do you get that? There's an actual heart that beats in your chest, requires healthy things to go into it and a lot of water to make everything, right? There are healthy things, the oil of the Spirit that you need in your heart for God, okay? They're the same vital organ. There's a heart for God that's in the Spirit man that is transformed daily into the image of his likeness until he comes. If we saturate ourselves in the Word, if we at least get a little snack out of the Word, you know, some of us are word deprived. It's like if you ever see those commercials where someone is completely malnourished, bloated stomach, skeletal, you know, like all the people on the red carpet right now. Skinny. Break you with one hand. It's like, come on, where's a muscle? Where's breath and ferocity and life? Right? There's something about it. Malnourished, starving. In the Spirit, sometimes my eyes can see that on people. Starving for the Word of God. Christians starving for the Word of God. When there's a banquet table before us constantly, how do I get oil? Presence. You got to be hungry. Do you remember from the beginning of the year we had four P's we talked about? Still going strong. We want to have prayer. Presence of God, you know, just pursuit of the presence of God, being a people of God's presence so that we can possess the land. We're still on pursue the presence. The United States has more cancer and heart disease than any place in the world. We are fat. We got to change it. I'm going to put a challenge out. Maybe we try to eat something healthy every day. We do it already. What if we got really crazy clean in our diet? Almost like a fast that would take place on this physical thing so that we could see something spiritual begin to take place. Oh, man. I just got real personal. Your metabolic health depends on what you put into your body. Your metabolic spiritual journey depends on what you put into it. Okay? Your respiration, your breathing, your very breath. You know, do you breathe in deep like that and cough? God forbid I take some deep breaths. The breath of the Spirit comes the same way by practicing his presence and breathe in, yeah, breathe that way, yeah, way. Strong. There's so many. If anybody wants my notes, just text me. I'll send it over to you. There's the parable of the virgins. There's a setting there that tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a wise 10 who took their oil and foolish that didn't. And there's a door that closes the same way it closed on the ark. You can't come in after that, guys. You can't come in after that part. That's why you're getting an opportunity now. And I haven't said this in a while, but I like to say it like this. Is there anyone that you could get a hold of that could come to this marriage feast with you before the door closes, before it's too late? Or do you hate them enough not to tell them? Midnight cry in the middle of this. There's even a delay. I always wonder, like, Jesus, why would you delay? Why would you delay in coming? You know they're going to run out of oil. And he's like, they won't run out of oil if they know me. Because they know me. He stops for the woman with the issue of blood who grabs the hem of his garment. He was on his way to heal another little girl that died at 12 years old. Jesus gets delayed with good things. Doesn't mean he's going to run out for you, but it means I should be smart enough to pack a little extra oil. And if I'm starting to feel fatigued because I'm a human being, and I do, and I'm starting to feel tired because I'm a human being, and I get tired, then I should take a pause, and I should get myself before the presence of the Lord in worship, and I should sing the best songs I know until I can't sing another one. and I should cry before the Lord and anoint my house, my home with oil. I should stand up with the sword of the Spirit and make a declaration that my home and my family belong to the Lord. How dare the enemy get near it? See, if I don't have any oil and I'm unaware that I don't have oil, not only am I not going to be able to defend my family, I'm not even going to be aware that they're under attack. Because I'm tired and I'm beat down. This is good preaching. Do you know what happens with this kind of preaching? You change. You transform into the image of his likeness. So you can't borrow my oil, guys. There's a day when we go from this life to that. We cross the threshold, okay? And wouldn't it be awesome if it happens in the rapture of the church? Another word that's not in the Bible. But there's a description of all those who believe in him, all the saints of God being drawn up into the air through the clouds, through these beams, all of these clothes I spent so much money on laying on this platform, and going with God, meeting him in the sky forever, right? There's a day where that will happen. And you know what happens after that? A judgment. Where I have to stand before God and give an account for every idle word that I said. That's not fun. I don't want to hear, I never knew you. Of course, if you're in the rapture, you know, probably a good chance he knows you. But there's a place where you have to give an account for your life, and you're not going to be able to say, well, I'm with Lisa, I go to the loft. I go here. This is my thing. And the Lord isn't going to go, oh, yeah, everybody come. He's going to go, yeah, I know her. Let's go. Well done, good and faithful servant. And there's a moment where you have to give an account for your life and how you surrendered it to the Lord and how much oil you carried for yourself. Not my oil. Can't borrow it. You have to get it on your own. How do I do that, Lisa? Number one, you make a personal commitment to the Lord. Some people come up, like, we don't do it like this because I don't like it. I don't like it when everybody come up here. Raise your hand and close your eyes and don't look around like you're scared. Are you scared? You're not scared. You're made in the image of God. If the Lord calls you and you can't call on his name in this room, you're never going to do it outside of this room, ever. Everybody in here wants you to know him and wants you to be in fellowship. So in here we'll say, have you ever given your heart to Jesus? Have you ever made a commitment of yourself in your faith to the Lord? Have you ever spoken with your mouth and believed in your heart that he was the Son of God and made a confession of your faith? Because if you do that, the Bible says you're saved. But that ain't all. You don't get a t-shirt, got saved, and you're done. That's the first step. It's the first prayer that you pray to God. God, I'm a sinner. I can't do this on my own. I need you. God, would you forgive me for my sins? And you can name the ones you know. And for some of you, that's going to be a long prayer. For some of you, it's going to be, show me what I don't know and speak to me, God, and forgive me and help me to walk in your presence. And then you have this ongoing communication with the Lord. You dedicate yourself to the Lord. That's step one. You dedicate yourself to him. And you're going to carve yourself out some time to read the Bible. How many times do you say it? Never enough. You have to read the word. You have to become a student of the word. You have to let the word become part of you so that everything you do and every decision you make is based on something that the word of God already told you. And if you make the decision once to follow the word of God, every other decision is made already. Don't have to ask God every time if he wants me to do that. Is it in the word? Yeah, this tells me to go in that path. Yeah, I can follow that. I don't have to decide every single time if I'm going to go get drunk. I already made a decision that I'm not. Because the word says not to be drunk with wine. It says you can have a little wine if your stomach needs it. You know, if you have a propensity toward addiction, I would suggest no. The word speaks clearly. I was thinking about having that affair. Maybe I could go do that. Maybe that'll make me happy. But I don't have to make that decision because I already made that decision here. See what I'm saying? There are things that the enemy calls us to. He calls us away from what God is doing, from what God is trying to purpose in our lives. And when you set yourself in a committed relationship with him and you give yourself a carved out space to look at the word every day, you become a disciple. You start to feel anointing. Are you guys tracking with me today? You act like you already know this. It says repent and seek forgiveness. We covered that in the first one. You obey God in your daily life. You cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Who knows what that even is? Galatians 5. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control. My granddaughter told me the other day, she goes, you know, we're going to not kick and we're not going to hit and we're not going to, I can't remember the other one, kick, hit. What was the other thing, Christy? She didn't tell you? We're not going to kick, we're not going to hit, and we're not going to, I don't know, pinch or punch or whatever it was. And I go, well, that's a great idea. That's a good choice. She goes, because even when we want to, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. It's self-control. And I was like, that's right. We have the fruit of the Spirit of self-control, so we're not going to punch Lily and then get slammed down onto the ground, you know? Yeah, we have it. I don't have to talk bad about somebody. I don't have to bond with you about something negative about somebody else. I got the fruit of the Spirit of kindness, you know? Learn the fruit of the Spirit. Invest time in worship. Like I said this morning, if you don't like worship, you probably won't like heaven. 10,000 years and then 10,000 more of praising and worshiping him, engaging in a personal, heartfelt worship that connects your heart to God. You guys can stand up with me. It's late, and I could keep preaching. I think I'm one-third through the notes. That's so good. I might have to bring this back around. It's too many. Bless you. I'm trying to see which one of these I want to leave you with. I guess I'll just review. How about that? There's a synthetic oil that is trying to permeate and penetrate the hearts and minds of us who belong to him. Synthetic oil. And then there's olive oil. Pure oil, the Spirit's oil saturating us. It's like the Lord would say, I'll give you, would you like cake or death? Which one? Pick the cake. He tells you, I set before you life and death. Choose life, that you might live long, that you might prosper on the earth, right? Don't choose the synthetic oil. I heard people say it like this. You guys, the Lord has ordered a limousine to pick you up and take you on a ride. And you keep calling the devil for Uber. Stop. There are systems within you that function. Your brain, your heart, your blood, your food. And they all have a parallel in the Spirit. If you can let the oil of the Spirit come and saturate and regulate all of those systems in you, physically and spiritually, you'll be different. You'll be transformed. You won't be cloudy all the time. You'll be clear. You have a clear mind that understands the heart of God. Isn't that beautiful and good? Because we all have destiny all over us. We have this oil for anointing. Anointing. You're anointed to break the yoke, to proclaim liberty to captives, to set people free. You're so much more than you think you are. Let's pray. Father, would you help us to understand the oil of gladness, that your kingdom is like virgins, 10 foolish, 10 wise, 5 foolish, 5 wise, whatever it is. Some are smart and some aren't. Help us to live among the ones that understand that you might be delayed in coming, and the responsibility to carry oil is ours. And Father, help us to understand that once we've become the vessels of your honor, the carriers of your power, that we pour out the vessel that we are, the oil of gladness, the oil of healing, the oil of even resolve, that we're bought with a price and we are not our own. We say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and help us to be your ambassadors to get done what we need to do, that everyone would hear, that everyone would have opportunity to come to this marriage supper, this incredible place before you in the name above every name, Jesus. Amen. No more. No mas. We're done. Love you guys. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.